thank you so much for tuning in to the Morbid Homemakers podcast exclusively on iTunes. I'm your host, Brian, and today we're going to be talking about one of my most favorite holidays, the most macabre holiday of them all, Halloween. And one of my favorite things to do, entertaining. So we're going to be talking all about things from theme to food and drinks and decor. And I just want to put a little memo out there that I understand that Halloween is somewhat of a controversial holiday. But I think the people that don't celebrate Halloween or don't recognize it as a holiday are absurd. I don't understand it. I don't think it's a cardinal sin to celebrate Halloween. I don't think you're going to go to hell if you have a Halloween party for your friends and neighbors. I don't, you know, you look at the Ten Commandments, and I don't think it says in there, if thou shalt have a Halloween party, thou will be murdered in hell. I don't think it's like that, people, so relax. And actually, depending on your neighbors, it is an act of love if you invite them to your Halloween party, because depending on how messy they are, believe me, it is most definitely an act of love. But I've been planning this podcast for weeks. I am so excited to get started with this. So why hesitate? We're going to start out with theme. And really with theme, it's such a playful... Halloween is really such a playful holiday in nature. It celebrates the fabled villains out of the fairy tales and fables from when we were, from childhood. So naturally kids love it. They get to dress up and go trick-or-treating. But really for adults, it's equally as fun because it is that one day out of the year where we can kind of reminisce and celebrate childhood on a grown-up level again. So it's that, I think that's why it is so much of a favorite holiday for so many adults nowadays. But theme, really you go and out to the stores, no matter where you go, Twilight is everywhere. You can have a Twilight party. You can have a True Blood party. It seems that vampires have inundated our society and our party themes. Vampire themes are everywhere this year. And really, so if you want to have a vampire themed party, this is totally fine. But it's important to kind of pick a theme and stick with it. You can go all out and just do an all-out Halloween party, but I think it really kind of adds an element of interest when you really do kind of have one specific theme. Like, you pick a witch theme, or I'm picking a naturalistic Halloween theme. And you can do different things at your parties, and you can have outdoor events. You can have an old-fashioned harvest party if you don't like the word Halloween, and you could have, bobbing for apples, or you could paint numbers on the squash and take a small sugar pumpkin or a pumpkin that can withstand a lot of being thrown around and have extras just in case they break, and go squash bowling. You can even hang donuts on a string and have a donut eating contest and have really small prizes or no prizes at all, really. It's just a lot of fun, and it keeps the kids occupied while the adults have fun. And honestly, these activities are fun enough that adults can most definitely enjoy themselves as well. I did a theme one year, I do a film festival, Halloween, like a horror film festival, and not really a festival, we watch one or two movies, but we like to call it a horror film festival, and of course, that's what I'm doing again this year. It takes a lot of entertaining strategy, a lot of planning off of the host's, or the hostess's shoulders. You know, a movie lasts your guests anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours. And if it is a scary movie, it is one of those things that you can really, it heightens the element. It's kind of sets the mood for the holiday if you do have this before or on Halloween. You can even have an outdoor campfire and tell ghost stories and have it lined up. Plan your evening as the host or the hostess. You have your theme set out. You need to get your invitations ready. And then plan your evening, kind of calendarize your schedule of events. Like if your party's from 7 p.m. to midnight, plan that at 7 p.m. you do appetizers and cocktails, or you start out with, appetizers and games. You do a pumpkin carving, but try to do that during the day or in a very well-lit area. You can do that kind of stuff and then afterwards you kind of migrate indoors, you have some more food, watch a movie, and then at the end of the night, you close it out with campfire ghost stories or hire a neighbor to, if you're surrounded by cornfields, or just, tell a neighbor what's going on and pay them $20 to come out and give you guys a good scare. Maybe they might even do it for free. But if they have to be bribed, I guarantee it, $20 is going to do the trick. And they're going to enjoy it just as much as you are as the host. A lot of fun. And I just talked briefly mentioned about invites. Going green is such an important part of our society now. And it kind of annoys me because I do like the old-fashioned feel of an invitation. However, I will say this. It's a lot more economical in these economic difficulties that we've been facing as a nation to send out e-bites. And Ping.com, that's P-I-N-G-G.com, does free in e-bites. And all you have to do is register with them, and Martha Stewart has a set of invites that you can send to your friends through email, and or you can send them in the mail, but you do have to pay for that. Or what I like to do is I create the invite for myself. I copy and paste the photo. I save it to my disk or save it to my hard drive, and then I create a Facebook page for my event, and I invite my friends that are on my Facebook page. The ones that have been selected to attend, and I will, they kind of see the party there. You know, I might also give them a little memo one-on-one. Maybe I will give them a little invite, but I do try to consider the environment, especially if you're having a lot of people. Think of all the money you'll be saving. If, say, you have 100 people over for your Halloween party, that's a big Halloween party, but it's a lot cheaper to just send out an e-bite through email or Facebook. So, if you don't have your friends' emails, or you have some of them, but not all of them, here's something to consider. This year, when you do have your Halloween party, when they sign the guest book, request that they also put down their email or their Facebook page, or if they are on Facebook and or Twitter, or another form of social media. That way you can kind of stay intact without having to pay the postage. And if you decide to have a Halloween party next year and you had a good time or not so good time, you'll know who or who not to invite next year at your own Halloween party. So I think that kind of sets it for theme. Try to stick with a theme. You can mix and match, but kind of keep it coordinated. You don't want a lot of garish colors mixing around. That's another good thing I should probably touch on real quickly before we move on to decor. And this is kind of fall into decor, so it's kind of a good transition. But color palettes, you don't want to have a lot of neon colors and then a lot of dark colors. I mean, you can. It's your party. You can do what you entirely want to. But really, with this podcast, my whole intention is to take your domestic lifestyle to the next level and not really to, you know, lower yourself to any standard, but to kind of raise you to mine. And with, you know, when I throw events, I make sure that I get 110%. And that's absolutely true. So I really do try to pick a theme and stick with it. And that kind of brings us into decor. Another good and very important topic when talking about, you know, throwing a party, especially when it's a theme party. For outdoor decor, this can range from anywhere from pumpkins to illumination and also scary effects. With pumpkins, I always think the more the merrier, and have different varieties of pumpkins. Pumpkins now aren't just the typical standard, you know, big and small varieties. They come in white. They're called the Lumina pumpkins. They have the Cinderella pumpkins. They have different sizes and shapes of gourds and different colors of gourds. You can get where it looks like they have boils growing on them. They're very spooky. And I love to just have them everywhere throughout the house. I have kind of like different areas and indoors coming into the house when it's not so scary. And you kind of do this throughout the autumn season. I just hollow out a pumpkin. I scoop out the seeds. I don't carve the flesh. I just, you know, take out the top. And I fit a planter in there and I put my chrysanthemums in there. And it adds such an autumnal charm to our home. And I love it. But yeah, pumpkins are very multi-purpose, and really, they do kind of have that. They can be scary, they can be whimsical, they can be cute, they can be classy, they can be elegant, they can be so many different things, and it really is what you want them for. And there's a plethora of ideas online. You can go to almost any home magazine on stands now and find great pumpkin ideas this year. MarthaStewart.com/holidays has great ideas. I know I reference her a lot, but I'm not kidding, and I've been homemaking for years. She's the best. And her staff is wonderful ideas. Safe illumination is such a key now, especially if you have little ones who want to light the pumpkins every night. Of course, you know, I reminisce and I did enjoy having that, you know, match that I would do when I was younger. I wasn't very young. I was probably 11 or 12, but I it was always that element of danger involved, you know, and especially if you have a small property and you have the pumpkins close to your home, you might want to consider the little LED pumpkin lights or the little pumpkin lights you can buy in packs of six, or you can buy them as singles. They're readily available at stores in the Halloween section this time of year. You can go to Michael's or Joann's and find them. They're readily available there. You can also go online and find them. Another thing to consider, if you still want the effect, or if you just need to have candles, and if your kids absolutely have to light them, make sure you get the grow lighters, because it does have the longer stick involved, and it's about a 4-inch lighter stick. So their hands don't directly come into contact with the flame. And always supervise them if you are going to be out there, or if they're going to be out there lighting their pumpkins, make sure they know that you need to be with them when they do that. But kind of let them have their freedom, of course. So that covers pumpkins. Illumination, and this is another really big key thing. I always think that you can not only heighten the element of scariness or spookiness to your party, but you can also heighten the element of creepiness to your home by having very simple to make window silhouettes. You can buy them in Michael's. You can find them at Joann's again. You can find them at grandinroad.com under their Halloween Haven section. And you can even do them yourself. They're very easy to make. If you have that, you put them up in your window. You can put an orange screen behind it. You can do it on orange polyester. And then you can actually just keep the lights on in the house, especially on the night of your home or your night of your party. It's a really good, it adds a really creepy element. And make sure you're going to be doing this at nighttime. It really does give the guests a little bit of a chill. I do spotlights this time of year, and I'll pile up leaves or twigs, and I won't have them directly on top of the spotlight, but I'll have them close to and in proximity, and I will change my I use the Christmas spotlights, and I just change out the white bulb, and a white bulb, and I add a yellow or orange bulb to it, and it really gives this emulation of like this glow of fire, and it looks really creepy. And then you can also use lanterns hanging from the porch. And with lanterns, it's also another really easy thing to do. You can either create them yourself, you can buy them. They're a little bit pricey, but think of it as an investment. This is something you can use year after year after year. So if you have three hooks hanging where you normally put hanging baskets on your porch, you can now hang a scary lantern and use that as your illumination when the trick-or-treaters come or when your guests arrive for your entertaining event. And I always I just think it's kind of classy. It's not so scary, but it is spooky. And another thing to do is kind of spooky effects. You can use everything from, you know, cut out spiders that are laser cut or die cut, and you can hang them on the side of your home. You can make them yourself, even out of heavy duty craft stock. You can cut out crows, or you can buy them pre-cut out, also readily available at a lot of craft supply stores this year. But if you are the do-it-yourself person, and I am, you can just look at my craft room. It's covered in glitter, glue, and natural moss, and glittered bones and bugs and everything else from all my do-it-myself activities this past weekend. And I do enjoy that. I tend to do it myself. But some things that I'm going to rather focus my efforts on other things, like the glittering of the bones or the glittering of little plastic bugs, I will buy the cutout crows because they're inexpensive and it's much easier. It gives you a little bit more time. Another thing to have on your porch is gather the leaves that have been falling in your yard and just spread them throughout the porch. You can also add cobwebs that are readily available in brooms. So if you have a porch, you come onto a covered porch and it's just littered with an old broom and tons of fallen leaves from the trees and creepy cobwebs and these hanging lanterns hanging from your porch ceiling, oh, your guests will be definitely scared. So, and it's not really scary, but it is spooky and it does heighten the element of creepiness. So it's a very, very good thing to keep in mind. And the last thing I'm going to talk about for scary effects is nowadays you can find a plethora of outdoor, and you can find it from inflatables to wood silhouettes to graveyards that are made out of plastic graves. All these things are readily available at department stores. You can go online and find them. I go to grandinroad.com. The cutout silhouettes are really nice. You can also do them yourself. All you have to have is a jigsaw, a printer, print out some templates. You can draw the silhouette yourself and a can of black paint and a paintbrush. And also some little odds and ends, like if you're doing a witch, you might need to get a black broom and a lantern. But besides that, that's about it, you know, with the scary effects. And you can, if you put the witch out, or Dracula, or whatever you have that you cut out yourself with your own jigsaw and some wood and a couple templates, you put that out, you pile up some leaves around it, and then you put out one of those spotlights with the orange or yellow bulb. It looks like the fire is glowing behind the witch, or behind the Dracula. Very spooky. And a very good thing to have in your front lawn this Halloween season. So now everyone's favorite part of the party, food and drinks. And let me tell you, this is a section I absolutely love when it comes to entertaining, because it really does sort of set the mood for your party. I don't really do entrees. I might do a stew and it'll be like a green vegetable curry. Or I might do something like a rice, as disgusting as it is, it kind of does mimic like an insect or like a maggot. I know that's disgusting, but it is. And you can like put squash with it, like spaghetti squash, and it just looks like slimy and gooey. If you need to do entrees, those are the kinds of entrees I would stick with, and serve the green curry or a green stew or even like a deep colored broth or a soup in a big cauldron. They're pretty inexpensive. You can find them in a lot of home discount stores. You can also find them in a lot of Halloween stores. Even the plastic ones will work. If you're worried about it breaking, you can put a glass bowl inside, or it leaking, you know, so it doesn't leak on your counters and your tabletops and stuff. I like to do a lot of appetizers and desserts, because I think that's, you know, it's finger food for the film. I like to do a film festival, as I said, so I'll do things like dirty eggs. I'll either crack the eggs, and I'll either let them sit in blueberry juice, which is like, it kind of has like this marbled egg effect, or like spiderweb eggs. If you just, once you hard boil an egg, squeeze it in your hand to kind of like crack it, but don't crack it in the shell, and then just let it sit overnight or a couple hours in blueberry juice. And you'll be surprised. The color stays. Once you peel the egg, the color is on the egg, but the taste is not. So, take frozen blueberries and just sit these eggs inside the juice that's come off of these frozen blueberries. You'll be really surprised at the really spooky effect it gives. And then take a little bit of gray sea salt. And that's also now readily available at a lot of specialty grocery stores, and expensive as well. And put that in a little, side dish, just a minute, you know, just so people can sprinkle it over top their spooky spiderweb eggs. You can also cut out the center. You can do like a deviled eggs, but I call them deviled eggs. And you can take those little itty bitty tortilla chips, the red kind, and make little devil horns off of them, and use chives to for eye pieces, whatever like little household herb you can shape into like a eyes and a nose and a mouth. And of course, don't forget the horns. It is a really cute effect. It takes a little bit of time. So that's something also to keep in mind, is you are on a time frame here. That's something that I love to do, is I really like to give it 110%. So I usually make the bedeviled eggs a day ahead of time. For drinks, you know, you need to think about age appropriate. Are you going to have cocktails? Are you going to have like a mild witch's brew? Are you going to have adults there and kids, or just adults? And that really all takes into consideration. If you are going to have cocktails, you need to be calling your liquor stores now. And because a lot of these stores do not carry it, until the Halloween season, which is approaching. Some of them don't carry it at all unless it's special order, but a lot of liquor stores can order it for you. It's Blavod Black Vodka, and you can make a plethora of drinks with black vodka. Pretty much whatever you make now with regular vodka, you can just substitute the black, and it gives it this black effect. You can freeze grape juice or another dark color juice. You don't want to just freeze water and add black food coloring, because it might turn your teeth or tongues green. But the frozen grape juice makes a good ice cube. Black ice cubes, really, really good idea to float in your drinks. You can also use black licorice sticks, as instead of like a toothpick with olives, You can use a black licorice stick as a little bit of garnish or a stir stick. A really creepy idea for a really good ghoulish cocktail. And, you know, another thing to keep in mind is when you do these, Halloween colors are traditionally black and orange. Well, why not practice your flirting skills and put a little bit of orange juice in a glass and a little bit of vodka in a glass and make a screwdriver. Don't mix it, though. Let the orange and the black separate to give your drink a really good Halloween effect. And back to food, you know, it's the desserts are another thing. I like to have the appetizers. I do the eggs. I do the curry. That's a big hit every year. It always is a big hit. You can do ladies' fingers. They're it's like a cookie or a breadstick almost, you know. The recipe is on MarthaStewart.com/holidays. And put it in a black cauldron. And they're pretty much cookies, and they have, like, these food-colored painted almonds on the edge, so it looks like little severed ladies' fingers. And have them in a cauldron filled with Spanish moss and a black cauldron on top of your dining room table, and have them so guests can take them and nibble on them. They're really good. For Halloween desserts, I do a lot of chocolate. Chocolate, you know, emulates the black of the earth and the, you know, final resting place for Count Von Dracula. And I do a lot of chocolate. Dirt cakes is a little bit trashy. Kids love it, though. I love to do that. I also love to have cookies out that people can just nibble on. And I do that at the finale of the night, usually before we go out. You know, before the movie starts, we do appetizers. And that can range from anything, like I said, it's stated about the eggs, and you can have the ladies' fingers, but also, and the ladies' fingers can even go out at the end with the dessert, but the centerpiece of your table, that needs to be something that's especially eerie. So I put a real candle in the center of this. It's a big black plate I have, and I put a black pillar candle in the center, and then I fill it in with lots of black fruit. I use everything from plums to black grapes to dark cherries. I use figs, and it really kind of gives it this ghastly, morbid appearance. And then you can put the little plastic bugs you find by the packs at the value stores. And you can put them around it. I also really like to do cheese, which kind of goes into my drink thing. It is somewhat of an elegant Halloween party. Mimolette cheese. Find something with an orange interior and a really creepy exterior. Beekman Black. That is all the rage right now. It's the New York State, New York cheese, and it's being featured in a lot of New York City restaurants. That's available on Beekman1802.com. It's made popular by the founders of Beekman 1802, Josh Kilmer Purcell and Dr. Brent Ridge. And they have their own show, The Fabulous Beekman Boys on Plant Green. Maybe you've heard of it. It's like one of the best shows on TV right now. And their cheese is coated in a dark hardwood ash. And it's a goat cheese. It's a 60-40 cheese, 60% goat milk to 40 cow. I believe that's the ratio. No, it's 60-40. I think it's 60 goat, 40 cow, 40 cow, 60 goat. That's what I just said. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it's 60-40 cow to, my gosh, 60-40 goat to cow. I'm so sorry. Anyway, so, and that's really good. I sampled that at an event in Philadelphia, and it was to die for. Very good. And they have a Beekman Black Onion Jam you can pair with that. So, you know, give those guys some business and order that. It is a seasonal cheese. I'm pretty sure it's still readily available, though. You can even find it at fine cheese suppliers in and around the country. If you go to, I know it's a Stinky Cheese in Brooklyn, so it's also there. You can maybe order that over the phone if they don't have it at Beekman 1802. But find that, you know, the ash-covered cheeses, the black cheeses, get a moldy cheese, like a good blue cheese out there, and it just adds to the effect. And when I was talking about drinks, I have cocktail drinkers. I have drinkers that will just drink the mild, no alcohol added witch's brew. But I also have wine drinkers. You know, Cabernet is a very popular wine for some of my attendees. And I make my own labels, or I might buy a set of labels, and you can, but it's so easy to make your own. All you need to do is soak your wine bottles with a hot water vinegar solution, and it does remove the adhesive on that jar. And you can make your own wine labels. If you're very good at calligraphy, I suggest you do so. But you just take an Avery label, which is one of those packing labels, and brush it with a coffee tea mixture. Let it dry. brush it again, let it dry, brush it, and then keep repeating until you get, and just lightly brush it, just to give it some color. And once you're done that, once you have your desired shade, you can char the edges or you can just peel it off. It's completely up to you. You can peel it off and do your calligraphy before you peel it off, and char it, of course, before you peel it off. Well, you might want to char it after. But you go and you adhere that to the side of a wine bottle. Now, they do have Avery label or the wine labels readily available where, of course, Joanne, Michaels, my two favorite Halloween craft supply stores. And they have a lot of stuff there as well you can find. And they're readily inexpensive, about $5.99 for 6 labels, I believe that's how much it is. You can also find them at grandandroad.com under the Halloween Haven tab. Very adorable. Also have different themes. They have some with spiders, some with witches, some with vampires. So, and they have this really, it's a nice effect. It's not trashy looking. It's classy elegance for a Halloween party. I would even dare to say, I suggest you do that for your wine drinkers, and make sure they know that if it says witches brew, or if it says, the one said Bloody Mary, she was a tasteful lady. I thought that was funny, and I do have that one, and I might have put that on my cabinet. I'll make sure that my wine drinkers know which ones are which. They might want to have a little key next to them and make sure they know which one's which. I talked about the witch's brew. Cauldrons are something that's kind of the fabled, the witch's cauldron. You've always heard of that. And you want to maybe put that, feature that with your dishes. You can serve your witch's brew in that. You can take a glass bowl and put dry ice in the bottom. That way it kind of gives it this bubbly effect. And dry ice is readily available at ice lockers. Some Walmarts carry it. Some hardware stores carry it. You just have to call ahead in advance. Some oxygen supply companies carry it. You just have to look online where to buy dry ice, click your area, zip code, whatever, and some resources should find up. And it's not as hard to access anymore as it was back in the day. It's readily available. A lot of people do sell it for the Halloween season, for household Halloween events and that kind of stuff. It's much safer than a fog machine and a lot less inexpensive. So a lot more expensive. So that pretty much covers the food and drink. You know, have finger foods, make them ghastly, make them friendly, make them, you know, accessible. You don't want to have something that's very hard to handle. And finger foods are a really good thing. Take them downstairs for your feature film, or take them into your family room, wherever you have your entertainment center, and feature movies that cater to your audience. You don't want to play a very gory movie to a 6-year-old unless you want to send them home to mom with nightmares for the next coming weeks. You can if you want to, but that's, you know, I suggest you don't. Maybe take a poll a week ahead of time, or suggest through your emails, your Facebooks, or even put on your Facebook page some movie suggestions and kind of a majority rule sort of thing. I feature classics. I love Hocus Pocus. It's a kids movie, but it is one of my favorite Halloween movies. Derek, I might even say it's my favorite one, and it's not even scary. It's funny. It really, I've said before in the podcast, my memories from childhood are so, I hold them so fondly, and that movie brought my cousins and myself so much, so many great times. So food and drink, theme, decor, we've pretty much covered everything in this Halloween entertaining podcast. We are going to have more Halloween entertaining podcasts in the future. Maybe based not so much on Halloween, but as the weeks approach, I just kind of want to give you guys a little sneak peek, a little taste of what to expect this Halloween season. And we'll focus more. We won't try to cover such a vast array. I wanted to kind of give you guys a 30-minute sneak peek of what to have featured in your Halloween parties for when you entertain this year, if you want to do so. I will also say this real quick, back in the decor, I just remembered it. Also a very good thing to keep in mind. I'm rambling. cheesecloth is another good thing you should probably buy by the yard. Do not buy it from the grocery store. Go to somewhere like Joann's, who sells a plethora of fabrics. They usually have it. Keep your eyes out for those 30% off coupons. You can get them with that. I think it's about $4.99 a yard, a lot cheaper than buying it from the grocery store. Trust me. And with the 30% off, it only comes down to $3.49. And you can use table linens. You can use that for window treatments. You can use that for various craft projects to emulate ghosts. I love cheesecloth. I think it's the fabric of the season. If you really are into window drapes and that kind of stuff, you can get white cotton by the bulk and pretty much fold it up and snip it, unfold it some more, and just randomly snip around the fabric, and then entirely unfold it and snip where it looks so orderly. So you have this random look, and you can it kind of emulates the appearance of old Victorian wallpaper coming off of the ceilings when you hang it from the ceiling. And you can dye it and you can spray it with a coffee tea mixture, as I've stated before. Remember that if you store these things in the winter for use, do not put any sugar or anything sweet on these. No corn syrups or nothing like that, because you will have, if you have a pest problem with mice or rodents in the winter months, you want to make sure you have these things air sealed in plastic containers. Use little or no sugar when doing these projects, because that is what attracts the mice and the rodents and the pests during those storage months when you're not in your Halloween decorations, obviously. Another thing to keep in mind, I've talked about this year, I'm doing a naturalistic Halloween, and I know probably some of my attendees of the party will listen to this podcast, and I want to kind of keep as much of a surprise as I can, but take straw from, go to a farm and buy a bale of straw, and you can put straw all around your dining room table on top of it, and put your dishes on there. It kind of looks, kind of gives this, like it's a sacrifice or something like that. An eerie thing, like a little bit more controversial, but I always like to have a controversial element to my parties. You can do that. You can also take the faux leaves, or you can even take real leaves if you want to, but I suggest the faux leaves. I have plenty of them from old garlands, from when I had the autumn leaves garlands that would wrap around our rafters and stuff. Then the ones that are outdated, a little bit faded, I take them off and I just throw them all over the wood floors here. It looks like a big windstorm has just come through the whole entire house and has littered the entire house with these leaves. And it's not a lot. It's just enough to like, oh, there's leaves on the floor. But it really, in the dining room area where we have all of this set up, it's very creepy. And as I've talked about, you can do a lot of things. The Halloween season is all about getting out there and crafting with not only you, craft with your friends, craft with your family, craft with your kids. Kids love to craft. Go to good places where they sell good quality products like Michael's, or you can even go to grandinroad.com or Joanne Fabrics, or now I think just Joanne's, and you can find all these wonderful, wonderful craft supplies and decorations that you can even kind of make your own still. And get out there and just start exploring websites and buy magazines. MarthaStewart.com/holidays has wonderful ideas for all the holidays, not just Halloween, but they really have. It's called Halloween Central. It is my one-stop shop, for the most part, where I get all my Halloween ideas from. So with that, I wish you all well. I'll see you guys back here next week as we talk all about, we're going to take a break from homekeeping for just a week, I promise. But, you know, this is the time when the hot new fall shows are coming out. Fashion Week is coming to a close. So I have two very special guests on my show next week. One is Whitney Utz. She's related to me, of course. She's my sister. We're going to be discussing the hot new fall shows that are coming on and anticipated returns of your favorite fall classics. And we're going to be talking all about that and the top five new shows to watch out for and the top five returning shows we're anticipating the premieres for. And they all start in the next coming week, so it'd be the perfect podcast for y'all to listen to. And of course, Fashion Week in New York City is coming to a close, and I hope all of you who are making it out to Fashion's Night Out tomorrow in New York, on Friday, September 10th in New York City, tweet me or Facebook me, send me twit pics and send me pictures. I want to know how much of a good time you guys had. I talked about the Beekman Boys. They will be at Henri Bendel tomorrow, featuring their new goat milkshake bath soak. It's going to be really exciting. Both Josh and Brent will be there at Henri Bendel tomorrow in New York City on Fifth Avenue, and they'll have the goats with them. So if you're in the area, make sure you go check that out. And we're going to talk all about the highlights of Fashion's Night Out, and I'm going to have my special guest correspondent, Anne Rinaldo. She's an aspiring makeup and artist, and we're going to have her on, and we're going to talk all about the hot new fall trends in fashion, and of course, the hot new fall trends for you ladies who wear makeup, and the hot new fall colors to to make sure you keep an eye out for at your Sephora's or your Macs or your Chanel or Dior counters at your local Macy's or Nordstrom. So I cannot wait. I'm really excited about next week's episode, and I hope you enjoy this one. And then after that, we'll get right back into homekeeping and homemaking and all that fun stuff. So thank you guys for tuning in so much. I hope you have a great week. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to send me a message on Facebook. It's facebook.com/thestepfordwife, or you can just search me, Brian Utz. And you can even tweet me on Twitter at @thecleanhome. That's @the_clean_home. You guys have a great week. I'll catch you next week. Bye.